All right, nice to have you back with us as we get ready for baseball tonight. It's the Pirates, the pesky Pirates. They've won 3 of 5 against the San Francisco Giants, and they take on the Giants tonight. The Giants trying to get back on the winning track tonight against the Pirates. Time to bring in Mark Simon. Always enjoy talking ball with Mark. Mark, of course, from Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. And I'm sure we've got some interesting things to talk about tonight. Mark, how are you?
Hi, congratulations on the Hall of Fame announcement. I am well. How are you?
Thank you so much. And it means a lot to me, you know, my peers and the community and everything else. So I appreciate your acknowledging it. Thank you. And I couldn't do it without you and the guests and the listeners.
And the rest of the long guest list.
Believe me, that's what it's all about. It's not about me. It's about you guys. All right. What a week of baseball for the Giants, and the Dodgers series was amazing. And the little things, the sound baseball, and I think for Jason Vosler, getting a walk and then that secondary lead was a huge part, and he beat the throw to second base, and it made the inning and saved the game.
Yeah, Gabe Kapler cited that in his postgame press conference, but then we kind of dug in a little bit just to see what the difference was. And it was a difference of 4 feet from the second pitch to the third pitch, where he extended himself out just a little bit further at the request of his first base coach. Antoine Richardson certainly gets props for that. And as a result, he beats the play essentially by, you know, the slide. He beats the play at second base. So that worked out in their favor. There were other things in that inning that are kind of like just right there with that. The 3-2 check swing by Darren Ruff on that pitch that was up. I had the Dodger feed on, and they were very clear in that that was clearly a swing. And I didn't necessarily disagree. But you might remember, and they probably said it at the beginning of the game, the umpiring crew switched. The guys that had the first three games of that series did not have the last game of the series. They went to a different crew. It put Ed Hickox at first base, and Ed Hickox is one of the least likely umpires in baseball to call a check swing a strike from first base. He just doesn't do it. He's at the very bottom of the list. If they had had the guy that it was supposed to be from the previous crew, that guy was more kind of like in the middle. He was like your typical umpire. He probably calls strike three. So there's these little things like leads or who the umpire is that just become so important. And it's just, I think that that's one of the really cool things about sports, that how much things like that just happen to matter.
Well, it's unbelievable. And it's also throwing strikes. We see, you know, the three outcomes, the strikeout, the walk, and the home run. And you get a reliever in the game who walks that first guy or walks someone in the critical position, and Vosler being one right there. Ruff, of course, he did get to a 3-2 count. So don't get yourself in a position where if you don't throw a perfect pitch, you can get beat. And that's what ended up happening with Jansen.
What a two days for Jansen. He pitched one inning, and he threw 60 pitches. And I feel like I know you've been into pitches per plate appearance and all that. 60 pitches in one inning is an absurdity. Like, that's not supposed to happen. And I think that's a testament to that chase rate number that's held true for the Giants the entire season, that has changed the strikeout to walk numbers for guys like Wilmer Flores or Ruff, certainly being another one. It really is amazing how the little things when it comes to hitting, running, umpiring, everything, they just come into play, and strikeouts, walks, home runs, that's the Giants season right there.
Well, they play sound baseball, and not last night. Last night they kicked it around a little bit, and the walks got to them last night. But of the whole week, I think the Flores home run off of Jansen on a high fastball, and this is what he throws. But, boy, Flores said, I was ready for it, and he didn't miss it. To me, that was the big one.
Yeah, so out of the last five home runs that Wilmer has hit, he's hit four of them on pitches that were up top. Not necessarily as high as that one. That was the highest one. He didn't have any the whole season. The first six or seven home runs that he hit this year were not high pitches. So I think that's maybe a little bit of an adjustment. I will tell you that sitting here watching and finding out after that he had one hit in the ninth inning the whole year, I thought he was going to hit into a double play.
I think a lot of people thought that, and he did. The next time they pinch hit him,
I think they pinch hit him last night.
And hit into a double play.
Yep.
Hey, this matchup today, Will Crow, and, you know, we love Eno. You know, Eno Saris of The Athletic, and he talks about guys with stuff. And Will Crow is one of his guys with great stuff, but, boy, the results don't show it, and he's got a tough customer. And Gausman, who honestly went 3 innings and 80 pitches in his last start against the Dodgers, so this one has a little bit of intrigue to it.
Yeah, I'm a little it's funny how the Dodgers, for him, his last two against the Dodgers have been pretty different from his other starts, in terms of that the Dodgers seem to know how to lay off the splitter, whether they've picked something up with him or whether they're just smart hitters, they're laying off of it. He's also had a little diminished effectiveness with his fastball. Dodgers hit 2 for home runs. He's not getting the swings and misses that he was getting earlier in the season. So, yeah, a couple of things to watch with Gausman today. Will Crow, the thing I wrote for Dave and John is, if you were going to draw up the kind of pitcher who the Giants should crush, Will Crow is that guy. He doesn't put his pitches in the strike zone. He has among the lowest first strike percentages in baseball. It's funny, as noted Chad Kuhl. And he doesn't finish hitters off. With 2 strikes, his opponent's OPS is the second highest in baseball. So Eno may like the stuff. The stuff hasn't translated yet. It's not there.
Well, the reverse splits for him, too. Righties 329 with 11 home runs. Lefties 222 with 3 home runs. But still, Gabe Kapler loaded the lineup up with lefties.
Yeah, I think that seems to have been the approach the whole year, though, that, like, he goes lefties against righties against lefties, and then he mixes and matches as the game goes. So that will be interesting to see. That surprises me a little bit, but thinking about the way that it goes the whole year, maybe not so much. I like that you're checking out the Baseball Reference splits pages, and you're all on top of that now.
Come on. You've been my mentor in this stuff. I have to get prepared. When you come on, I want to be prepared, and I'm not – believe me, I am. Hey, the
cool.
Pirates, they're a very annoying team, and I said this earlier in the year when they split the 4-game series. You don't want to get into a bullpen game with these guys.
Yeah, they have a fair number of arms – at the end of the game between Bednar and Rodriguez that are impressive. And they also have, they are like really highly credible at like 3 or 4 positions. Catch with Stallings, and his numbers are the best in baseball defensively. Second base with Frazier, center field with Reynolds, and third base with Cabrian Hayes. That's a pretty good 4. The problem is that they're like 23, 24, 25 everywhere else. But you're right that they gave the Mets a lot of trouble. What's funny is they gave the Mets a lot of trouble, and then they got beat up by the Diamondbacks, which didn't make any sense to me. And then they come to San Francisco, they win one. They played the Braves tough, if I remember right, a week or two ago. They're not your typical 20 whatever games under 500 team. They have a number of legit guys. They may trade one or two of those guys in the near term, but like I think they're better than their record says they are, I guess is a good way to put it.
Well, when we talk next Saturday, where will Starling Marte be?
So that's an interesting one. He could very well be in San Francisco. I haven't really thought about other markets for them. Him, I think the Yankees is a possibility as well. I guess what you're getting with him is you're getting track record, which is what you don't necessarily feel that you have with someone like Duggar in center field. So there's track record. There's a good history of defensive play. And he tends to hit a lot of balls that don't get caught. Like his BABIP tends to be high, and it's not like a luck thing. It's like his typical BABIP is like 320, which is good, which is what you want in a guy. He's like 360 this year, so he's a little overperforming. He would be a good get. He would be an interesting player for them to add, certainly something to think about over the next week. Curious to see where that goes.
Well, he's a big name on the trade market. All right, I'm looking forward to talking to you next week, absolutely, because I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. Mark, thanks so much, as always. Thank you.
You got it, Marty.
All right. That is Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Always one of my favorite segments. All right. Paul Sullivan of the Chicago Tribune is up next. We'll talk some ball with him right after this.